Today marks the fifth day of the SAA strike. The airline CFO, Dion Fredericks, has warned that the ongoing industrial action runs the risk of putting SAA out of business. The company has since approached the Labour Court to block any additional demands from the unions, and political analyst Daniel Silk warns that this is just the beginning of the battle over the restructuring of state-owned enterprises. He joins us on the line now with more perspective. Daniel, thanks so much for your time this evening. So the strike at SAA has cost doubt, of course, over the survival of the airline, which hasn't turned a profit since 2011 and is reliant on state bailouts as well. Is this the beginning of the end of SAA as you see it?
Yes, hi, good evening. Look, I think it's the beginning of the end of the SAA that we've got used to over the course of the last few decades or so, the wholly owned state-owned enterprise. And I think it is the beginnings of an attempt now to introduce finally that sort of much vaunted word structural reforms into a more practical effect, starting with a national airline and starting with an attempt perhaps to find some sort of private sector, private equity partner for SAA, getting it into shape in advance of what could be a partial sale of SAA. And I think this does mean that the nature of SAA is going to change, but it's very likely that I think the flag-carrying nature of SAA, the tail, the fact that it is the national airline, actually might well survive, although that does depend on just how vociferous the strike is over the course of the next week or so.
Of course, you've got political will, the one thing, to take into consideration, but also buy-in at an employee level, another thing altogether. We had Public Enterprises Minister Praveen Gordhan meeting unions today to discuss, but no detail emerging on what was actually discussed at that meeting. Do you see any resolve actually coming through and a government managing to get buy-in at the end of the day?
Well, it's very important that government does get buy-in, because it needs buy-in, not just for SAA, but it needs buy-in clearly for other state-owned enterprises that may go through a similar restructuring exercise. And it's therefore important that Minister Gordhan explains very clearly the downside of the ongoing strike, the fact that indeed more damage to SAA could well shed many more jobs than the 900-odd jobs that has been proposed to go. So I think this is really a matter of critical communications from government to the trade unions, being open and honest with them, listening to some of their demands regarding issues relating to the effectiveness and efficiencies of the current SAA board as well. And clearly a meeting of minds has to take place, because this level of brinkmanship that we have can do substantially more harm to trade union members if they continue to be, of course, stubborn on the issue of the demands as they put forward. So I think here we're looking at a complex position where government really needs to get this one right. It needs to get this one right to set the scene for further structural reforms which are clearly needed in order to tackle the indebtedness of South Africa as a nation.
Absolutely, because despite the stoppage costing the airline, 50 million rand a day and jeopardizing talks with lenders, if the government doesn't make a lesson off SAA, the ramifications could be equally hazardous, Daniel, especially where we've got a new head at the helm of Eskom, whose success is going to be determined by the political plays within the ANC over both SOE restructuring as well as energy-related policy formulations, as you've outlined earlier today.
Well, absolutely. And I think, it may be difficult to look at similar structures being imposed on SAA and Eskom and other SOEs. I think each one is very, very different. But I certainly think that the Ramaphosa administration need to send a signal quite rapidly, particularly to our friends at Moody's, who are clearly calling out for a restructuring of these SOEs. They're clearly calling out for a reduction in state expenditure. And SAA actually becomes almost the easier one to deal with. It's obviously much smaller than Eskom. The amount of employees that perhaps could be removed from the SAA payroll, much smaller than dealing with the Eskom issues. And indeed, perhaps SAA is not as strategically critical to South Africa, as of course Eskom is. So you can make more of an example of SAA. You can indicate your intentions more clearly, that you're genuine about structural reform with SAA. It actually might be a lot more difficult, as it happens, with a much larger and much more complex entity like Eskom.
Okay, that being said then, what have you made, Daniel, of the new appointment of a CEO at Eskom, and that, of course, Andre de Reiter coming through from Nampak?
Well, look, he's probably got the most difficult job in South Africa today outside of the state, the president himself. And one has to have a certain degree of sympathy even in advance of him taking up the position, because ultimately his success is going to be predicated upon political input from the governing ANC. Just how much political rope will he be allowed to operate as the new CEO of Eskom? If there's going to be substantial ideological or state interference in whatever restructuring there is, he may well find that the job becomes very, very difficult to handle. So I think that time will tell just how much of an independent leeway does he have, and for that matter, how much buy-in does he have also from unions, who are going to have to play a very critical role here.
Absolutely.
The real issue is communication with unions on these issues, and I hope that government really takes the deep-rooted anxiety of the unions into account, and that the unions understand the precarious position we are in.
Of course, Daniel, we've had a lot of mixed feelings emerge when it comes to Andre de Reiter's appointment. But I was listening to an interview had with Chris Yelland earlier today, and he highlighted that his job is not to save Eskom. It's to unbundle it, to prepare it for the future, to create a new energy supply industry where the game has certainly changed. Do we need to look at the management of SOEs then with new lenses? Clearly, yes, we do.
Well, absolutely we do. And absolutely there is a new energy environment that is upon us. But the old structures are very much part and parcel of the ideological makeup of the ANC itself. Centralization of control, a lack of interest in sort of more federal units within the SOEs. And the ANC have to undergo a substantial transformation in their own ideology to begin to allow much greater autonomy within a big SOE like Eskom. So indeed, the sort of breakup into three structures, into three units, is a break with the past of the broader ANC ideology as well. And the question is, will Mr. de Reiter have to oversee job losses during the process? Because the culling of jobs is going to be an important part in maintaining decent cost structures within Eskom. And I think the jury is out as to whether that can be achieved in the short term.
Daniel, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, political analyst Daniel Silk.